What the Health with Gabby Allen on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health, FUBAR Radio. My name is Jules Bertinot, stepping in for Gabby Allen. So guys, just a little bit about myself, online coach, health and fitness professional. I've been in and around the space for many, many years, previous rugby player. Many of you might recognise me from Married at First Sight, famously known for my squatting and baguettes. Today we're here to talk to you about health and fitness, and just to help you support you with your fitness and lifestyle journeys. Coming up on the show today, we've got Nick Steyert, CEO of Wellnergy, Lily White, content creator and founder of The Nightclub. And coming up now, we have got Phil Samuel, performance nutritionist and MSc in sports nutrition, master of sciences. Phil, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. Yourself?
I'm very good. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for joining me today. So we're going to ask you a couple of questions just about nutrition. And I thought, why not discuss nutrition and tracking calories? Sound good to you?
Yeah, sounds good with me.
Perfect. Right. So first of all, do you think tracking calories has a bad repetition?
I think it does. And potentially rightly so over a longer period of time. So I think there's a big difference between getting a understanding of what someone is eating, like a food assessment measure, mm-hmm. and then tracking over a longer period of time. I think they're two very different arguments. In regards for tracking what you're eating on a short period of time as a dietary assessment method, then I think that can be beneficial. It may, if you're working with a nutritionist or a coach who needs to get a better understanding of what you're doing on a daily basis, then a snapshot of your daily life may be beneficial for them to help you help them support you in the long term. However, if you're tracking it on a daily basis every single day, it can sometimes lead to disordered eating patterns, which would have more negative consequences over the long period of time than just taking a snapshot, mate.
So we could potentially say unhealthy or obsessive eating. And obviously there are many eating disorders at the moment out there. But, you know, personally, from a point of view, I feel tracking calories does have a good rep as well, you know. And I think the biggest thing for me is it is healthy as a guideline as well. Right. So where do you feel the main benefits of tracking your calories comes into play?
I think the main benefits are definitely that you get a better understanding of what you're consuming on a daily basis. I mean, it's very well established that in order to make body composition changes, you'll need to either be in a caloric surplus or deficit, depending on what your goals are, and how your macronutrient distribution is will dictate how then body composition changes come about. So being able to track and keep an eye on what you're doing can help you stay in line with whatever the goals are that have been set either by yourself or by a coach. I think that it can help keep you along the right lines and make sure that you're hitting the necessary targets that may have been outlined to you or that you've created yourself. And it can, it can definitely keep you consistent with what you're doing.
Okay, perfect. So let's talk surplus, right? So lots of people want to lose weight, so we know that that's a deficit. But let's start with surplus. So a lot of people say 500 calories, you know, there's lots of research at the moment saying 5 to 15% of your maintenance calories. What are your views or what's your standpoint with a surplus and building muscle mass? You know, because people are wanting to build muscle, right, for better physique and better health.
Yeah. I would argue that somewhere in that probably 10 to 15% of maintenance. There was a really nice paper that came out a couple of years ago that looked at I believe it was 300 calorie surplus versus a 700 calorie surplus on muscle mass over an eight week period. And they found that there was no significant increase in muscle mass with a 700 calorie surplus versus a 300. As long as protein intakes were matched amongst the two groups, then the size of the surplus was not correlated with the size of muscle hypertrophy that came with that. So to me, that says that you don't need to be in a ginormous surplus in order to make the most amount of progress. You have to be in a surplus. You have to hit your protein targets, but then also other factors like your sleep, resting, and how hard you're actually working in the gym will have will be bigger contributing factors as well, rather than just being like, I'm just going to try and smash 1,000-calorie surplus and go from there.
Yeah, so the old school dirty bulk, or you know what people used to say before. And I know back in the day, bodybuilders never used to track their calories. They just used to eat the same things over and over again. But health and fitness is so much more than bodybuilding now. So, okay. And then what about for a deficit? Again, 500 calories daily? What are we talking?
I really think that varies person to person. Somewhere in that 300 to 500 calories would be a good starting point. I wouldn't personally recommend going over 500 calories, mainly because if you're cutting it by that much, it's often hard to stay full and feel satiated a lot of the time. Now, for the majority of people, hunger will be a big driving factor in eating behaviors. And if you're able to keep yourself in a deficit but not feeling hungry all the time, I think that gives you the best chance for long-term success. If you were needing to make changes in a short period of time, then sure, you could go bigger. But in my opinion, for the general population, long-term success is what you're looking for. And in that case, then a smaller deficit over a long period of time would be the way to go at it.
Yeah, so little and often, small steps, baby steps, weekly targets instead of large masses at once. Like I have this big thing that I do with my clients. I say, if you lost a pound a week for a whole year, that's a hell of a lot of weight, right? Now, I see a lot of coaches being like, oh, my clients have lost a stone in a month. What are your views on that? Are you seeing a stone as a negative thing? Because that's a lot of weight. So a stone is 7 kilos, right? Or 14 pounds. Are you looking at that and going, that's a lot of weight to lose in a month? You're probably losing muscle tissue. A hell of a lot of it is going to be water weight. What else, you know?
Yeah, I would argue that if you've got someone claiming results like that, it's probable that they're unsustainable patterns. Another thing that I would like to emphasize here is that if a coach wanted to create a weight difference in a very short period of time, manipulating carbohydrate intake will do that, but it won't have a big impact on body fat mass, which for the majority of people is what they're actually looking to reduce. Now, for every gram of carbohydrates, you store 3 grams of water. So reducing carbohydrates, the weight on the scale comes down, but as I said, fat mass hasn't changed. And I think that, and for anyone who has lost, let's take this stone in a month example, then it's probable that the carbohydrates have been manipulated. And what that means is that as soon as the carbohydrates are reintroduced into diet, as they should be, because they're very important to a holistic and nutritionally beneficial diet, then the weight on the scale will bounce back up. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just making sure that the person on the other side understands why that is, rather than going, I've lost a stone in a month and then I've put on half a stone in 2 weeks. It's like, maybe, but that's just the weight on the scale. That's not, you may not have made the body composition changes that you're after. So I would argue that if it's anything that drastic, it was probably a little bit too fast. And if the deficit is that big, as you said, there's likely to be some muscle mass reductions in there too.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing as well is taking weekly pictures. I mean, some people love a daily picture, but I think a weekly picture is great. Waist measurements are super important because, as we know, waist is going to decrease. There's going to be less bloating. But yeah, I totally agree with everything you're saying. Okay, and let's talk about the scales very quickly. Do we feel that there is a very poor representation of how we view the scales? Do we think that people are becoming obsessed with the scales and they should be more focused on how they're feeling, how their mind is, and how their kind of lifestyle balances out with the scales?
100%. I would always argue that your self-worth should not be determined by a number on a scale, and there is so much more to it than just, oh, I've lost X amount of weight or whatever you're trying to do with the scale. How you feel on a daily basis, how you feel when you look at yourself in the mirror, everything like that will have a bigger impact on daily life. And also, like, food is there to nourish you as well. It doesn't need to be demonized. Working on positive relationships with food would be my number one piece of advice, is that if you feel like you have negative relationships with food, then work on that first, because as soon as food isn't demonized and doesn't become the enemy, then just setting yourself up for much more sustainable and longer term, higher chances of longer term success.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, I always say to everyone I work with, there's no food off limits. Anything in moderation works great. Try not to binge, try and have even plates, you know, and protein is key. Right, we're probably gonna have time for one last question. So what are your top tips for eating well? I know you've just obviously given us a tip there, but what would you say have you got any tips you'd suggest for the listeners?
Yeah, I mean, it would be more looking at where are when you're trying to make body composition changes, it would be looking at where calories are coming in that potentially you're unaware of. So for me, the first things that I'd look at would be alcohol intake. How often are we snacking, and how often are we getting takeaways? For the majority of people, the size of your main meal is going to be what fills you up and keeps you fueled throughout the day. The areas in which you can make the most amount of progress with what feels like the least amount of effort is just by making a few swaps. So for example, let's say you have a takeaway twice a week. If you can do that to once every other week and just have home cooked on those occasions, then that's probably going to make a large impact immediately off the bat. If you're having a couple of beers in the evening just because you're bored, if you can try and reduce them and then have that later on, like if you just go to the pub on a Friday as you would normally and then cut out all of the beers during the week, then that's going to help you as well. So it would be looking at what the areas within your lifestyle that will have the least impact but make the most amount of change.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think you've got some really good points there. So, yeah, I mean, Phil, thank you so much for your time. Where can we find you on socials?
Socials, Instagram would be PSA Performance. So PSA and then underscore performance. That's my Instagram. That's kind of where I'm most active, if I'm honest. I'm on LinkedIn as well as Phil Samuel. But yeah, them two platforms would kind of be the best for me.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time. And yeah, have a great rest of your day.
No worries. Cheers for having me on.
Cheers. Thanks.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Right, guys, now we're going to be moving on to exercise of the week, and it wouldn't be me if I didn't say the exercise of the week was squatting. So the squat is an excellent exercise, and so many people disregard it. We love it, we hate it, but it's such an important movement for everyday life. Leg strength, strength and stability in the lower limb is super, super important. It's an exercise we can progress by adding load, more reps. We can regress by making it easier. It's an exercise that, for me, I find is super important for all ages. If you're young and you're an athlete, or you're young and you want to build big quads, hamstrings, and glutes, fantastic exercise for just overall lower body conditioning. Like I said before, all ages can do this exercise. Simple regression would be a chair sit for someone who's a little bit older or their legs aren't as strong. You can use the frame of the chair to help you get up, and you can just make it so that it's not too deep. So if your knees hurt, you can still work at an angle so that you aren't in discomfort, because at the end of the day, we're looking to build strength in the legs. There's a lot of research to actually back that individuals with bigger and stronger legs have a higher longevity of life, which actually means if our legs are stronger, then we have a chance of living for longer, which is obviously what we want in life. And that's why a lot of us do health and fitness, so we can be better, we can have clearer mindsets, we can have healthier lifestyles, and we can live with balance and variation. So obviously a progressed version of a squat, you can add load, you can do a front squat, you can do a back squat, you can do a goblet squat, lots and lots of variations. And it's just an exercise that for me I would highly recommend. If you struggle squatting, a wall sit is a very good exercise. Holding it isometrically, five sets of 30 to 45 seconds, that will be a real quad burner for you, especially if you are a novice or a beginner in the gym. A wall sit as well would be a great way to finish off a leg day. That's pretty much my exercise. So exercise of the week is squat. And now, guys, we're coming up to break one. So coming up after this break, we have joining us Nick Steyert, who is CEO of Wellnergy.
Fubar Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
I'd love to ask for people that look at you, what's one tip you would say to someone that potentially wants to be a future Chancellor of the Exchequer?
I guess I would just encourage all people, but particularly young women, because I'm the first ever woman to be Chancellor of the Exchequer, and the post has existed for 800 years.
Oh, wow.
Just to say to all young women and girls, there's no ceiling on your ambition. You can achieve whatever you want. Aim high, dream big, and you can realise your dreams too.
You're listening to Fubar Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Fubar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for Fubar Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The Fubar Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
We've got Georgia Harrison, my SAS sister. That's when I thought shit's got real.
Well, I got out, didn't I, with my little earmuffs on and my scarf. And they didn't show that either, because obviously I can't put everything in. But he looks at me and he goes, what the fuck are those? And he grabbed my earmuffs and he threw them across the New Zealand landscape. I thought, that's a fucking liberty. £3 from Sheen, they were. I was still in my Sheen Queen era.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani and Zoe Grunewald.
What would you be advising the Labour leadership to do at this point?
My view is just apologise. I went to the theatre last night. I'm with my wife and family, and as I'm walking, a bloke says very loudly, John McDonnell, has he paid for his tickets? I went back to the bloke, said, yeah, I did pay for my tickets, and I always do. What that whole ticketing thing and all the free gifts thing doesn't just damage those individuals, it damages us all, because they all think, oh, they're all the same, and we're not.
Keeping fitness fun. What the Health with Gabby Allen.
Guys, welcome back. This is What the Health on Fubar Radio with me, Georges Bertineau, in for Gabby Allen. Up next, we have got CEO of Wellnergy, Nick Steyert. Nick, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, George.
Good, good, good. Right, so we're going to be starting with a couple of quick fire questions. So, first of all, three words to describe yourself, Nick.
Oh, three words. That's a good one. Fun, energetic,
Vibey.
Okay, nice. We love it. It definitely goes with the whole concept of Wellnergy, yeah, I'm sure.
Living the brand.
Yeah, exactly. Upper body or lower body?
Upper body.
Okay. Yeah. Any reasons why?
I think just habit. You know, when I used to go to the gym, I was always upper body. Yeah, never ever worked on lower body. Maybe because I did a lot of walking, so I thought that at the gym it was about upper body.
Nice. Working out in the morning or evening?
Morning, for sure.
Okay, so yeah, early 100%. Riser. Yeah, you have to be businessman, entrepreneur like yourself. You have to be an early riser.
I'm tired. I just want to chill, take it easy. Boy, yeah.
Nice. What would be your go-to cheat meal?
Oh, go-to cheat meal. I do like a butter chicken Indian.
Oh, nice. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Anything else on the side?
Peshwari naan, coconut rice.
Okay, sweet. Yeah. Lovely stuff. Dream workout partner.
Oh, dream workout partner. That's a good one. I'm not sure. I've never thought about that. That's a really good question.
Arnold, maybe?
Yeah, let's go with Arnie.
Absolute role model in the fitness world, right?
Yeah. Arnie would be great.
And final question, what is your workout anthem? Have you got any kind of music? If you don't have an anthem, maybe a genre.
Yeah. So I listen to a lot of motivational playlist on YouTube. Cool. Things just get me excited and just like positive affirmations and just get me in the mood. I find those are just really uplifting.
Okay, nice. Well, perfect. Thank you so much for that. Yeah. Right. So first of all, can you tell us about Wellnergy and what it is exactly?
Yeah, absolutely. So Wellnergy is trying to redefine the way people perceive wellness and wellness festivals. Usually people think of wellness, they think of yoga, Pilates, being vegan, being sober. For us, we're trying to make it very different. We're trying to make it fun, more accessible, more inclusive. The pillars of Wellnergy are, there's mindfulness, which is the natural one, but then we've added fitness, nutrition, health optimization, music, and we want to make it different. We want to make it fun, energetic. We want to make it inspirational. We want, you know, when you have a good flow of thoughts, and it's all about the vibe, you know. People that came to our previous events on both occasions, I said that they've left feeling energized, uplifted, yes. and it's just through the power of the mind working out and
I love it. I mean, that's amazing. And like, I've been to festivals before, but for me the concept is magical, because when I think about it, what you've just said about leaving a festival energized instead of being drained and tired or fatigued, that's
needing
beautiful.
5 days to recover from it.
Exactly. But I mean, you know, run us through your five zones. So you've got five zones,
yes, yeah,
and what it means.
Yeah. So we've got five zones and a main stage as well, and the activities are based around, and alongside that, we've also got a talks and workshop zone as well. Cool. So the idea is we're going to have different activities, different classes, different instructors, and the instructors will lead different classes based on what their profession is and what their skill set are. So it could range from sound healing classes, fitness, exercises. We had a really inspirational person called Julius Burphy, who's renowned for doing step-a-ton challenges.
Okay, cool.
He came in June, and we had the whole festival all doing these step-a-ton challenges, and it looked amazing.
Amazing, I bet. Yeah. I mean, I think the way I look at it is, you know, we were speaking a little bit before, and the thing is, with social media, like, social media has such a negative influence, but it also has such a positive influence in regards to what we spoke about, which is how social media is now pushing health and fitness. And something like what you do is exactly how social media can have a positive influence. Mm-hmm. People are no longer wanting to go clubbing and going out. They want to work on their health. They want to have longer lives. They want to be healthier. They want to be happier, better mindset, better lifestyle. Yeah. So, you know, I can really see how what you do with Wellnergy can really give that and inspire people as well.
For sure. And also, Wellnergy is about having that balance as well, because with social media, and like with life, there is a lot of positives, also have negatives.
Yes.
And with social media, the negative is you spend so much time scrolling, it's not good for our mindsets, because we're just narrow-minded. It keeps the brain focus just on our screens. Yeah. And whereas going to what we do, it gets people out there, makes them more free. Exactly, it's a cleanse to it. And the two go hand in hand together.
Perfect, amazing stuff. Can you tell us a bit about this year's festival?
Yeah, so it's going to be happening on the 13th of June, which is a Friday, and it's the first time it's happening on a Friday. And the reason for that is we've had so much feedback from the corporate world that, wow, this looks amazing. So from our side, how do we get companies focusing more on wellness for the employees? So we thought, yeah, let's bring wellness on the Friday. Let's utilize our existing infrastructure. And so far, we've had really positive responses. And then the Friends and Family Day is on Saturday, the 14th of June. So it's going to be happening over 2 days this year. And yeah, we just had our first wave of lineup announcements released yesterday.
Cool.
We had Maya Rajora, who's going to be returning this year, who's a mental health expert, and Josh Connolly, who's a really impressive breathwork instructor. He's released a few books, and yeah, we're going to be releasing more people in the next few weeks as well.
Amazing. Sounds amazing. I was going to ask, obviously, so did you originally start with maybe like one day or one afternoon, and it's kind of expanded?
Yeah, so we started with one day in 2023. Preceding that, we tried to launch in 2021, but COVID got in the way and it got cancelled.
Yes, of course, yeah.
We ran an online event, but it wasn't the same. We made the best out of the situation. But yeah, the brand is growing and it's evolving. So now we've grown into 2 days. We've added health optimization as one of our pillars this year, because as the Wellnergy brand matures, it's important that we adapt to what the wellness space involves, and health optimization and wellness goes so hand in hand. So how do we promote it on the day? So we thought, let's create a health optimization zone, and then let's get people finding out how they can live more optimal lives.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, why do you think the wellness movement has progressed so much in the past few years? I know, like we said, you know, we've already spoken about how I feel that social media has helped, but also it's a really good opportunity to switch off. But why do you feel that the wellness movement has become popular recently?
I think for sure COVID has played a big part in it. Pre-COVID, wellness was seen as this woo-woo brand, as I mentioned earlier, whereas COVID made us realize that, wow, we need to be focusing on our wellness. And at the end of the day, we are human. We are going to have good days. We're going to have bad days. And wellness is there to help us through the bad days. And it's impossible to have good day after good day after good day. You know, it's just, there's no balance there. So, and I think wellness is so important just for living more balanced lifestyles.
Yeah, I totally agree. And do you feel that people since COVID, like you said, have become more health conscious as well? Do you think people are looking at what they're consuming, what they're doing with their time, how they're kind of exerting energy? Because I've seen a massive shift recently. You know, we had the whole CrossFit before COVID, and then now we've got HYROX, and then obviously we have, you know, we have other, there are other forms of fitness. You know, do you feel that the, you know, there's become more, people have become more health conscious?
Yeah, 100%. You know, people are looking, maybe it's because we spent so much time indoors, and ultimately it's about the energy we give off. You know, when we go out side, it's about interacting with others, and all that has a different energy. And as humans, we weren't designed to spend so much time indoors. It was almost like a prison sentence for a lot of people. So now the way to compensate that is, how do we focus on looking after ourselves? For our generation, it was almost like, you know, the generational impact of, for example, a war, you know, it has on people. It makes people more health conscious and more grateful, and how do they make them maximize that opportunity that we have.
Yeah, gratitude, and I'm sure that's something you guys probably practice when you're at your festival. Okay, so how does Wellnergy compare to a traditional festival?
So yeah, like I said, we've tried to find a sweet spot that's different to your typical festivals, where you go, you leave, you feel tired, you need to recover from the festival. People come to ours and they get inspired, they get motivated. And also, we're not trying to be your typical wellness festival. As I mentioned earlier, we're trying to redefine the way people look at wellness by making it more inclusive.
Okay.
So for us, it's about, and it's also about the community that we're creating, and the vibe and the energy, and bring people together. And we literally have had people come on their own in the past because they want to get involved, which to me is an amazing to be doing something like that shows that we're on the right path.
Yeah, and like community is a huge thing. We've seen how communities have grown probably in the last 2 to 3 years since that kind of coming out of COVID.
Yeah.
A lot of people being lonely, but the fact that people can openly go to your festival alone and potentially leave with friends and make friends is actually quite nice, because that's quite rare. Yeah, people go to festivals and they find friends and stuff, but it's different kinds of connections. These are kind of more meaningful and deeper connections.
Exactly that.
Leads me on to, what do you think your favourite part of your festival is, and the festival?
Yeah, for me, it's seeing it all come together. Because, yeah, I mean, prior to this, I ran a travel company, and then learning how to create a festival is a tough journey, especially early days. You learn the hard way, and there's so many nuts and bolts that you just don't even think about. But for us, having, yeah, seeing it all just come together, seeing the connection and the role everyone plays, and the teamwork and the effort that goes into it, and yeah, it's just something very magical about it. So yeah, just seeing that moment of it all the hard work, and as well, festivals take nearly a year to plan. You know, some people just see it and they see that one day and they think, oh, that's it, but there's like so much that goes on behind the scenes.
And I'm totally sure, like, there's so much to orchestrate, and you think about it, you're at the top of this pyramid and you've got it all trickling down, but when everything is working, it still has to work on the day.
And that's, it's like an engine, you know, a human engine.
Of course.
Everyone has a different role that plays. And also, as well, it takes time to create that. Because I remember our first year, we had no content. So people were like, oh, what's Wellnergy? Is it a yoga festival? And I'm like, no, it's not. We're trying to be different than that.
Yes, okay.
And then we create the content, and then we're slowly, people start to understand it. And now we've got an amazing promo video, and people just see it and they understand it.
So. Yeah, it's captivating, you know, and that's great. And it takes time to build something, but it sounds like you've really built something you're proud of as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so when are tickets live? Like, when can people get their hands on tickets? And
So tickets are going live next week. If people joined our pre-registration, they can buy a day earlier, which is the Tuesday. People can still sign up for pre-registration now, and then general release goes on sale on Wednesday.
Okay, amazing. And if anyone is on the fence about going, can you pitch us why it's worth it? You know, what do you feel that there might be, you know, worth going for?
Yeah, absolutely. So the day itself will be unbelievable. People come, they feel energized, they feel a sense of belonging, they feel a sense of a community. If you go on our website, wellnergy.com, and you see the video from last year, that was our second year festival, and the feedback we've had has been really positive about it. And you see it and you think, wow, how do I get involved with this? And you know, we're trying to build that community, and people will have the most amazing day.
Perfect. Well, it sounds like, I mean, sign me up. I'm definitely interested. Where can we find you on socials?
So it's wellnergy.com. That's wellnergy.com. And we are Wellnergy on Instagram as well.
Amazing. Nick, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, George.
Guys, coming up after this, I'll be joined by Lily White, who is content creator and founder of The Nightclub.
FUBAR Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
I'd love to ask for people that look at you, what's one tip you would say to someone that potentially wants to be a future Chancellor of the Exchequer?
I guess I would just encourage all people, but particularly young women, because I'm the first ever woman to be Chancellor of the Exchequer, and the post has existed for 800 years.
Oh, wow.
Just to say to all young women and girls, there's no ceiling on your ambition. You can achieve whatever you want. Aim high, dream big, and you can realise your dreams too.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google app stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
One in five people in the UK are disabled, and it's not always visible. So if we've made ourselves at home in priority spaces on the bus or train, surrounded by our shopping bags or bikes, we could be making it harder for the people who need that space more than us. So let's not forget about the people we share our journeys with, and keep priority spaces clear for others. Remember, it's everyone's journey.
When it comes to heart attacks, you might be surprised to hear the symptoms don't always feel severe. You could experience a squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, a sense something's not quite right. Don't be tempted to dismiss the signs and wait to see what happens. The faster you seek medical help, the better your chances. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
We've got Georgia Harrison, my Yes I Yes sister. That's when I thought shit's got real.
Well, I got out, didn't I, with my little earmuffs on and my scarf. And they didn't show that either because obviously I can't put everything in. But he looks at me and he goes, what the fuck are those? And he grabbed my earmuffs and he threw them across the New Zealand landscape. I thought, that's a fucking liberty. £3 from Sheen, they were. I was still in my Sheen Queen era.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani and Zoe Grunewald.
What would you be advising the Labour leadership to do at this point?
My view is just apologise. I went to the theatre last night. I'm with my wife and family, and as I'm walking, a bloke says very loudly, John McDonnell, has he paid for his tickets? I went back to the bloke, said, yeah, I did pay for my tickets, and I always do. What that whole ticketing thing and all the free gifts thing doesn't just damage those individuals, it damages us all, because they all think, oh, they're all the same, and we're not.
Keeping fitness fun. What the Health with Gabby Allen.
Guys, this is What the Health. Welcome back on Fubar Radio. My name is Georges Bertineau, covering for Gabby Allen. Right now, guys, joining me is going to be Lily White, content creator and founder of The Nightclub. Lily, welcome. A pleasure to have you joining us today. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Good, absolute pleasure. So, first of all, let's start with what made you decide to start The Nightclub?
So, it was basically inspired by my own running journey. I started running last September, October, and I basically realised that there were just less opportunities to run safely because there was less and less daylight. Mm. And especially like around work hours, before work it's dark, after work it's dark. And as a woman, it's unsafe to run in the dark. So then you have no opportunity to run because there's no daylight or you're at work. And then you find yourself having to change your routine to be able to run safely. So that was my main problem. And after speaking with my friends that ran regularly, mm-hmm. I found that they either stop running throughout the winter or they have to change their routines to adapt. And for women, the reason why it's unsafe to run in the dark is because of the risk of harassment and assault. Mm-hmm. And that's heightened in the winter. So that was my inspiration. And so I created the Run Club, and it's so much more than just a run club. It's, you know, a movement to spread awareness about the problem, but also to create a community to allow women to run confidently in the dark.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm totally with you. I work with lots of women who don't like going to the gym because guys are creeps. Like, that's the grand scheme of things, right? And it is harassment, and it's horrible for you and other individuals that have had to endure that and kind of go through that. So I think what you've done is a really, really good idea and a great concept. So fair play to you and like, well done for getting it going. How important would you say running clubs like The Nightclub are for safety of women?
They are so important, and it's a shame that we have to do things like create communities and, you know, women to take more precautions to be able to run safely. But I think it's a really great way for women to run confidently. Mm. And it's not just that, you know, you're building connections, you're building friendships, and it's just a really wholesome way to run. And women are always taught to, you know, take precautions like wearing high vis and things like that. And you still don't necessarily always feel safe when you do those things.
Yeah.
So to have a community of women where you can come and run confidently is brilliant.
Yeah, and I think, okay, you don't have to answer this question if you don't feel comfortable answering it, but do you feel it's men need to be educated more, mm-hmm. or do you feel that it's more of a two-party thing? Because personally, as a man, I think men need to be educated more, and there needs to be put more rules or more measures put in place for this.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you feel a certain way, or and if you don't want to answer this, obviously.
No, absolutely. I think the general public needs to be educated more. Yeah. There is so much more awareness that is needed on this problem, because it's not a personal problem women face; it's a societal issue that we have. And I think people need to be not only educated about the risks, but also to understand how to act if you see a woman that is in an unsafe situation when it's dark.
Yeah.
So I completely agree with that. I think everybody needs so much more education.
Just needs to be put through schools. And again, I won't get onto the topic of schooling because I feel like schools need to do so much more than they do than just teaching us maths, English, science, history. You know, there needs to be so much more taught, but that's for another day. Okay. So what's the reception been like at the nightclub? Like, very community-based, very loving, everyone kind of becoming friends? Do you have a WhatsApp community, Instagram? How does it work?
It's been so amazing. Like, I could never have imagined it to blow up in the way that it has. And I found that I'm getting feedback from girls being like, I've changed their running journey because, you know, they couldn't run confidently on their own. And it's allowing people to, you know, get into a social situation and meet new people. And girls come on their own, they come with their friends, and people have made such good friendships from it.
Good.
And I've now got an Instagram page for the nightclub, so that's how we kind of connect. But I'm hoping to broaden it, do tours around the UK, because it's not just girls that need, you know, women run clubs in London. It's around the whole UK.
It's the whole of the UK. I totally get that. Do you feel that local authorities need to be doing more to make women feel safe at night? Or
absolutely, yeah. I mentioned earlier about the precautions that women have to take, and whether that's pushed through public opinion or media outlets. You're told to wear high vis, you're told to change your route weekly, you're told to tell your friends where you are, run in like well-lit areas. And they're so helpful, and I'd always recommend them, but that's not solving the root of the problem.
No.
It's, again, a societal issue that needs to be corrected, and putting the onus on women all the time to make them modify their normal behaviours is not going to solve the problem.
No, of course.
And I don't know whether, you know, authorities need to make solutions like changing infrastructure, making more well-lit areas in London and around the UK. But I think a big thing is education and awareness and, you know, allowing, well, making people understand more about the risks that women face.
Yeah.
And that it is worse in winter, but it's, again, it's not seasonal.
No, of course not. I mean, I literally just had a thought. I don't know why local authorities don't open up local running tracks.
Yeah.
I get it, it's not as enjoyable as running through the park or whatever. Having actual undulations in your run and it being flat the whole time isn't always enjoyable, but why can't local authorities open up running tracks and go, right, you guys are here on at this time, you guys are here at this time, and they just make it so that it's open to, like, women only, and they have whatever they need to have put in place.
I think that's such a good idea. I think, like,
pitch it.
I shall. I think that's so good because, like, it's, you know, when you have to change your route and run in well-lit areas, you still don't feel safe. And you can wear colourful clothing and, like, one of my friends carries an alarm when she runs.
Yeah.
But she says, for example, she can set off the alarm, but usually there's no one around in the dark. So what would happen if I do pull my alarm?
And it's about what people actually do. Like, I've seen, obviously not that exact situation, but I've seen situations where there's drama going on in public, and we're obviously not going to use the context of what you're saying, but let's just say any sort of other context going on in public, people just walk past.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Again, it goes down to a societal issue, and people need to be educated, and people need to be braver at standing up to things and other situations. Right, so are you hoping to keep this kind of going round year round, or is it just a winter based thing? Or
so it's yearly. I'm carrying on throughout the summer, mainly because the whole thing is about women running at night, and the point is that it's not seasonal. Women face this constantly throughout the year. It's just heightened in the winter, and it's so important for women to have safe spaces constantly throughout the year and build communities and build connections. I think that it will be fun anyway in the summer because there'll be sunset runs, and it's just making something a good thing out of a bad situation and being positive about it.
Yeah, and that's that's the beauty of what you're doing, right? Mm. You're making a negative situation into something positive, and you're trying to build this community. And I'm sure there are lots of people that are going to be listening that are like, oh my God, want to get involved and so on, really. Do you have like an app, or like you said, it's just an Instagram page at the moment?
At the moment, yeah. It's The Nightclub on Instagram with two L's.
Okay, perfect.
And I also share it on my page, which is Lily Lifts.
Okay, amazing.
And then hopefully we'll expand somehow, but it's on Instagram at the moment.
So does it welcome kind of all levels, beginners, advanced, novice, you know, intermediate, pro? Like, what kind of levels does it welcome? Everyone?
Everybody.
What kind of distance do you do?
So we invite everybody. Okay. Every week we always have beginners join us, and they smash it every time. And people come and they're so nervous, because I had one girl come the other day and we did a 7K run, and she'd never run before.
Wow.
And she smashed it. She literally smashed it.
Adrenaline, togetherness, that community kind of that you're building is what can inspire people, and others running alongside you is so much more motivating than going for a plod on your own and being like, oh, I've still got 5K to go, or I've got to do 5K, or
Yeah, the thing is that, like, when you run in a group of people, like, it seems daunting, but you're chatting the whole time, and you're listening to music, and you're singing along, and it's actually enjoyable. Like, I used to hate running. I was so, so bad at running. And now I find it difficult to run alone, because I'm so used to running with people. But yeah, it's open to all fitness abilities.
Okay.
Because I want it to be inclusive as possible.
Nice. So I'm going back onto distance, about 7K most times, or does it vary?
It varies.
So weekends you might do more, you might go right, and you let people know, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to
So understand. I will post like tickets a week before. They're cool. Free. Cool. And it's just so I have an idea of numbers.
Yeah, that's smart.
And then they, at the moment I've done 5, 6 and 7K.
Cool.
Only because like I just want to keep it slightly inclusive still, and allow beginners to still come along. In the future I will try longer distances.
Cool.
But for now it's smaller distances.
Nice. I mean, it's great. I mean, I've never been much of a runner, so for me 5, 6 and 7K, I'm just like, yeah, great. If I'm with people, like, I've even thought about a run club, like, just to do a little bit more, but I do all my fitness on my own. But anyway, I digress. Why do you think run clubs have become so popular? Because they haven't they, with High Rocks and CrossFit and all these other, there's going to be something new soon, but run clubs have been super, super popular in the past few years.
It's crazy. It's completely blown up. But I think, like, if you think about it, a lot of like athletic sports have blown up in the last couple of years, whether it's running or High Rocks, and people just seem to be going for that type of sporting industry rather than like your traditional weightlifting and things like that. And I think people have seen like the community that people build from run clubs, and like there's so many cool run clubs where people listen to music and they're dancing on their runs. And for some reason, people are opting for that to socialise on the weekends instead of going on a night out like everyone used to.
Yeah. Well, I was literally saying that to Nick moments ago, that social media has brought more awareness to health and fitness and people's lifestyles, and clubbing has gone downhill and fitness and health has gone uphill. Okay, so for someone in the fitness space, do you have any advice for someone wanting to begin, you know, their fitness journey or maybe their running journey?
Yeah, I think, like, don't put so much pressure on yourself, especially, like, for myself, when I started running or even started going to the gym, I was so focused on being perfect and doing things amazingly to start with, because online, you see people at the end of their journey, and they're fit, they look amazing, like, they just know everything.
Comparison is a thief of joy, right?
Yeah.
So people are comparing themselves.
You don't see that middle bit of people making mistakes and looking silly in the gym or running 5K in 40 minutes. When I started running, I was so disheartened that I couldn't run 5K in under 30 minutes, because everybody online is running it in, like, under 20 minutes or something ridiculous. So less pressure, chill out, and just allow yourself to make mistakes, because I think that if you put so much pressure on yourself and you mess up, you'll give up and you lose your journey.
Yeah, okay. Right, so Lily, thank you so much for coming on. Remind us again where we can find you on socials, because you've got two pages, right?
Yeah, so my main lifting page is called Lily Lifts, and then my run club is called The Night Club with two L's.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us on FUBAR Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Right, guys, now moving on to listener questions. So it's time for me to answer your fitness questions. If you want to get involved, you can DM us at What The Health Show on Instagram. So starting with Pablo's question. Pablo has asked, I recently tore a muscle in my calf after playing football. I'm about a week away from full recovery, but I'm scared about returning to football in case I do it again. Any advice? Yes, lots of advice for this. First of all, have you seen a medical professional, a physio, a rehabilitator, a therapist? Have you gone through your markers? You need to look at so many different factors. Calves are annoying, and they often go with running, sprinting, or explosive movements. So for me, I would highly recommend that you can isometrically hold with a bent knee and a straight leg, double your body weight. I would make sure that you have done plyometrics, so that is single leg and double leg plyometrics. I would make sure that you have run at 50%, 70%, 80 to 85%, 95 plus repeatedly. That is probably the best kind of advice I can give you. Lots and lots of strength work on your calf will be needed, because you might have an imbalance. So hopefully that helps, Pablo. Liam, I'm having a hard time maintaining a brace throughout my squat, hip thrusts, etc. So I'm assuming all lower body movements. I assume this is a core strength problem. Would lowering the weights on everything and keeping a strict brace be enough to build core muscles, or should I focus more on ab workouts outside of these exercises? First of all, no, you do not need to do more core exercises. I know many, many people that have never trained abs to get a six pack. You do not need to train core to be able to brace. Now, could you do a little bit of accessory work? Yes, you probably could if you have a very weak core. But my biggest piece of advice for you would be to breathe in at the top of the movement, go down, come up, and then exhale, because your body will naturally cause a tightened abdomen area and a tightened core, and that will brace you so much better than trying to do crunches and doing plank and side plank and so on. So yeah, you can lower the weight. Again, if you need to lower the weight because you're struggling with the movement, form is more important than reps and volume, because in time you'll get better. Think about it this way: the more you do something, the better you should get at it. So if you're doing it wrong, we can go back to my exercise of the week and you can regress the exercise. So if you're struggling with a squat, go for a box squat. You can do a goblet squat. Focus on with the goblet. So the goblet squat is perfect for this, because it will force you forwards, whereas you need to engage your trunk and your lower back, which will then keep you upright, and that will then help you in time and potentially your hand position with squats or, again, other exercises. We then have a question from Vanessa. Should losing weight become easier if I cut drinking out entirely? Recently went from drinking daily to 1 to 3 times a week. I'm a former binge drinker. So, excuse me. So should losing weight become easier if I cut out drink? Yes, it should. Okay, plain and simple, there's going to be a big reduction in calories, especially if you were a binge drinker before. So you have to think about how many calories you were having. There's lots of excess carbohydrates. Obviously, we spoke with Phil earlier about how carbs can make you retain more water. So it will make losing weight, or, you know, changing your shape a lot easier. Again, I say to clients that are avid drinkers or are big drinkers, I say, if you can reduce how much you drink throughout the week, that will be amazing. And then if you can replace bar snacks or whatever like that when you're having your drink with better options. I always say popcorn, because who doesn't love popcorn? It's a great snack, super light in calories, and it's exactly what you can consume and get away with it and enjoy it. And they are the questions for today. Oh, we have another question. 1 second. So Nadia asks, would you recommend calisthenics for strengthening your core? So I'm not a big calisthenics individual, but there is lots of research to back that calisthenics is huge. Body weight work is phenomenal and actually incredibly hard to do. So if you can actually get to a point where you're able to execute calisthenics, then yes, it will 100% strengthen your core. There is no one exercise which is going to make you stronger or better at something apart from just training that area. If you want to get a better core, train your core. If that means plank, side plank, calisthenics, crunches, focusing on your breathing when you're doing a squat, a goblet squat, a front squat. These are all exercises that will help with your core. I know for a fact that go and do a front squat session, your core the next day or your abdomen area will be absolutely in tatters because it's so hard to brace for so many exercises and so many reps. Right, guys. So I just want to say a massive thank you to Phil, Nick and Lily for joining us today on What the Health Radio, FUBAR Radio. Just a reminder for people to download the app and listen each week, to follow us on social media. We are on at What the Health Show on Instagram. I just want to thank you guys for everything today. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.